May God's word be spoken. May God's word be heard. Through him who is the word, Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. Happy All Saints Day.
Happy All Saints Day.
I love that hymn, by the way. It's great to be with you again this year. I was here last year. I think it was Veterans Day weekend, so I got back in 51 days, which is the same year, I think. I am Chris Gray. I am recently retired from St. Mark's in Venice, where I served as rector for some 20 years. In the last 3 years in that retirement, the bishop has asked me to serve part-time basis on his staff, doing stewardship work and development work. And it's that hat that I wear today with you this morning. And I'm going to try and intertwine that stewardship message in with the All Saints Day message that we have today from our hymns as well as from our scriptures. And I thought I would begin with one of my favorite stewardship stories. It's not the same one I told you last year. I checked that out. In fact, in the last service, someone said, "You didn't bring the $100 bill again this year." Yeah. I said, "No, but my wife's got a check she'll put in the offering plate later on." So you can't bring the $100 bill every year. Anyway, as it goes, these two men were on a boat. The boat crashed. They were washed ashore on this island. One man sitting back under a palm tree, cutting open coconuts and drinking the milk, fanning himself, doing absolutely nothing. His friend is as busy as he can be, looking for water to drink, a source of food, shelter, something for a signal fire, and he's just working up a sweat. He finally comes back to his friend and says, "Why are you just sitting there? We could be here a really long time. You need to help me." He says, "We're not going to be here that long." He says, "Why not?" He says, "Well, you see, I'm a tither." His friend says, "You're a tither? What does that have to do with us getting found?" He said, "Well, a number of years ago, my rector came knocking on my door. Susan Latimer is her name. I was making $10,000 a year. She convinced me I should tithe, and that year I tithed $1,000. The next year, I was making $100,000. I might add, this is before 2007. And she was there, knocking on that door again, convinced me that I should tithe. Well, I did $10,000 that year to St. Catherine's. The next year, I was making $250,000. Here comes Susan, knocking on my door. She convinced me I should tithe $25,000 that year. He said, "I still don't know what your tithing has to do with us getting found." He looked up at him and said, "Well, you see, my rector's going to find me." And no doubt she would come looking for him. And so would this former rector. "We'd come looking for you. But the good news of the gospel is that we'd come looking for you anyway." That's what we are about, all of us, looking for the lost, the least, and the last among us, reaching out to folks, whether they tithe or they don't tithe, whether they put something in the offering plate or they don't put something in the offering plate. We're about sharing God's grace and God's love with each other. So that's the good news, is she's going to look for you anyway, whether you tithe or not. My wife and I have been tithing for, gosh, over 30 years now. I shared some of that with you last year, so I will not repeat that again this year as well. But for us, it's an expression of gratitude and thanksgiving for all that God has done in our lives. For us, that tithe is a way of saying thank you, God, for the many, many blessings with a tangible financial gift that has value, given back for the mission and ministry of God's people and the churches where we serve. That word tithe is used over 80 times in the scriptures. We find it on the lips of Abraham and his grandson Jacob, later on a fellow named Malachi, and a bunch of other times as well. And each time it's always given in gratitude and in thanksgiving for God's presence in the lives of these great saints. And when you get to the New Testament, they stopped giving 10%. They started giving 100%. To me, that makes the tithe look pretty good. Story about Barnabas. Barnabas had a piece of property, sold the property. He didn't give a tithe. He gave the entire amount to the disciples for their mission and ministry of God's people. I believe that most of these saints of old were tithers. If they weren't tithers, they were given the whole 100%, everything they had. So on this All Saints Day, I'd like us to reflect on some of those great saints of old. Some of my personal favorites as well, who were not tithers, but who gave 100%. And they gave it out of gratitude and thanksgiving. They gave it out of faithfulness to God. And in doing so, they flourished in their faith. And in doing so, they inspire us to flourish in our faith as well. Now, the first saint that came to mind for me is a lady named Catherine. That ring a bell here? I thought it might. My wife and I were driving last week, and she Googled it on the cell phone. We read all about Catherine. I'm not going to tell you a thing, because you probably know more about her than I do. But what an incredible saint she was. My personal favorite is Saint Christopher, for obvious reasons. And then a few popes ago, they got rid of him, said he might have been a myth or a legend. They kicked him out. That hurt me deeply, I might add. But if you go to a Roman Catholic gift shop, guess what you can still find in there? For the right application of cash, you can still get a St. Christopher's Day medal. And then there are the obvious ones in the Bible. James and John, Peter and Paul, Martha and Mary, Mary Magdalene, Mary and Joseph, just to name a few. And when I think of them, I think of that hymn we just sang together. That first verse. I sing a song of the saints of God, patient and brave and true, who taught and fought and lived and died for the Lord they loved and knew. And one was a doctor, and one was a queen, and one was a shepherdess on the green. And they're all of them saints of God, and I mean, God help me to be one too. God help me to be one too. This hymn is about all of those saints of old, the biblical ones and the ones that have come forward since then, including Catherine and Christopher and so many others. But that hymn is also about each of you and about me as well. By virtue of our baptismal commitment and our faith commitment, we too are saints of God. Your website describes the ministry of the saints of St. Catherine's. Your blessings tree out in the narthex describes the gratitude and the thanksgiving of the saints of St. Catherine's. And if you haven't done so yet, get a hold of one of these leaves today. Fill that tree up with your expressions of gratitude and thanksgiving for God's presence in your lives. This past summer, I worked with your vestry on developing a vestry stewardship statement that's in your bulletin today. And in doing so, I got to spend some quality time with some of the saints of St. Catherine's here in this community. Or as it says in verse 3 of that wonderful hymn, they lived not only in ages past, there are hundreds of thousands still. The world is bright with the joyous saints who love to do Jesus' will. You can meet them in school or in lanes or at sea, in church or in trains or in shops or at tea. For the saints of God are just folk like me, and I mean to be one too. Now, some of you might be saying, not me. I'm no saint. I know what's going on inside. I am not a saint. I couldn't be. I am not perfect. In fact, I am very imperfect. I even have feet of clay. The man can't be talking about me. Well, if you recall, St. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. Jesus also called him Satan once, and they had a couple other disputes among themselves. He wasn't exactly the most perfect of saints. Paul claims he had a thorn in his side, some kind of obstacle that limited his faith commitment. That's why he needed Christ. Martha and Mary, They had all sorts of household issues. They did not live in a perfect household, if you remember their story. And James and John, they had favoritism issues, some sibling rivalry taking place with James and John, just to name a few of those biblical saints. You and I, we may not have an ST in front of our name, but as we live into our baptismal covenant and into the fullness of the Christian faith, we too become modern day saints, just like the hymn says. So happy All Saints Day to the saints of St. Catharines. I first learned what a saint does by my mother. I shared this story with the vestry this summer when I was here. I thought I'd share it again with the whole congregation. The occasion was Christmas, late 1950s. I was about, somewhere around that age, I think. My mother was putting together this big old box full of all sorts of Christmas goodies. Well, I knew it wasn't for me because she was letting me look inside of it. But I was curious who was going to get the box with all the Christmas goodies in it. So I asked her, and she told me. But before I tell you, like Paul Harvey used to say, let me tell you the rest of the story first. Mother and Dad were married in 1937, Houston, Texas, at the cathedral. They immediately traveled to the Philippines. I think it was a two-week boat ride to get there. It took a while. Airplanes weren't going that far, or they couldn't afford it. And they spent the next 6 months at the cathedral in Manila, where Dad was a canon on the staff. And after he got acclimated, they sent him up to work with the Igorot people in the mountain provinces outside of Sagada and Baguio. They spent the next couple years there. They loved the missionary work they did in the Philippines. 1940, my older brother was born, and 18 months later was December the 7th of 1941. And a few months later, my parents and my then almost two-year-old brother were incarcerated for the next 2 or 3 years. It would be a difficult time for them. Dad probably lost 100 pounds. Mother probably did as well. It helped that Dad was one of the cooks in the kitchen, so he'd get a little extra food to his wife and his son. He was also a priest, so they had communion every Sunday. Unlike us today, they fermented mangoes and papayas and such things to make the wine for communion. And knowing my father, some of it was used for medicinal purposes, I'm sure. They had rice cakes instead of the wheat bread that we're going to have today. If you ask my mother today if she was still alive, she'd say those are some of the most terrible years of their life, and yet they were some of the best years of their life because it pulled them together. And through Christ, they were able to love each other through that series of traumas. When the war was over, my parents had absolutely no use for the Japanese, which is understandable. And a number of years later, that Christmas in the late 1950s, when I asked my mother who the box was going to, she told me it was going to the commandant of their prison camp. He had had orders to kill all of them and chose not to do that before they were liberated. And she said that she and Dad had been searching for him for a while. He now had 12 children. They were sending it off to him. She said also they couldn't have done it in the late 40s or early 50s. It took them a while to get to that point in their life. But they said it was time for them to forgive. It was time for them to seek reconciliation. It was time for them to share Christ's gift of unconditional love. It was time for them to express gratitude and thanksgiving for having survived that ordeal. Or in the words of today's gospel, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. My parents went on to raise 5 children. That oldest one became a bishop. The other two became priests. My sister married a priest. My other sister rebelled and left the Episcopal Church and became an evangelical Christian. She's now come back in the family as well. But all 5 of us are engaging in ministry. And I think it all goes back to those words, reconciliation, forgiveness, love, and grace that we learned from my parents. Now, my mother was not a perfect saint. In fact, she was an imperfect saint, just like I am, just like each of you. In her latter years, she struggled with alcoholism. She fought other demons as well, as did my father. But together, they taught me how to love, how to forgive, how to be reconciled to my neighbor through Christ Jesus. They taught me about gratitude and thanksgiving when it comes to stewardship and sharing the gifts that I have with others, with my time, my talent, and my treasure. They taught me about giving something back to God for all that God had given to me. So, happy All Saints Day to the saints of St. Catherine's. And may you continue to flourish in faith as you strive to be Christ's representatives in this portion of the kingdom that God has entrusted to your care. And as the saints of God here at St. Catherine's, I hope you'll take some time the next few weeks to reflect on your own personal stewardship of your time, your talent, and your dollars. To reflect on how you're going to respond to that 2014 pledge card when it comes in the mail. To reflect on why it is that you give, whatever it is that you give, of your time, your talent, and your dollars. And to reflect on whether God might be calling you to increase that gift next year over this current year. To reflect on how you and this congregation together can continue to flourish in faith. And finally, to reflect on how the gifts that you give, your time, your talent, and your dollars, can be given in gratitude and in thanksgiving to support the mission and ministry of the saints right here at St. Catherine's. And I mean to be one too. Amen.
Amen.